All right, you are back in the DFSR, and we are here with our NBA podcast for Tuesday, February 7th. I am Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we are here to talk a three-game slate of basketball. Took yesterday off with the, it was the day after the Super Bowl. Thought about coming in for the podcast, do one-on-one for the big slate, and then just thought, I'm a little foggy. That game was, it was too good to really, I was going to do no sports any justice by getting onto the podcast yesterday and talking basketball, so decided to just skip it all together. That's my strategy when I don't think I'm going to be doing something up to snuff.
Yeah, I think I'm finally broken on rooting against the Patriots. I've rooted against the Patriots for 15 years. And now I just came to this moment of zen at the end of the game where I was like, you know what? Maybe it just is okay if the best team wins. You know,
yeah.
Like if they're just going to be so good at stuff, like maybe I do just want to live in a world where when you're the best at something, you get to win. So
well, it's one of those situations too where I lost just about every single prop bet I put in. Like it was a real. It was just an epic. I'm not going to do an epic. Bad beat story. But just to, suffice to say, myself and my brother-in-law Casey put in a fair amount of bets going into that game. Lost every single one, and still felt like it came away with something because the game was so good. So
you deserve it, by the way. I just want to say to people who place bets on things like this, the universe, when it sends you a message like don't place these stupid bets when you have money at your disposal that you can use to just win at like DFS, for instance, which is winnable. So you got unlucky. Agreed.
Yeah, but I wasn't taking money out of my DFS account.
I know.
Anyway, after this long intro, we're from Daily
Fantasy. The bad beat was you guys deciding to put prop bets in on stupid things like some guy named Beasley getting more than a half a sack or whatever.
We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. You can head over to the site. There's still time for this NBA season to get a free three-day trial of our projection system, which has been straight up killing it in the last, the whole season, but specifically over the last 2 weeks. Not capped off by last night, but another excellent night last night where really just cash everything, all sites, GPP, and 50-50s. You can go to DFSR.com/membership, and that will give you the free three-day trial. It's just $29.95 a month. After that, you are all set to go. That includes base hockey projections and will include MLB when the time comes, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. We're coming off a pretty big slate of games last night. They did the old no one plays on Super Bowl Sunday, everyone plays yesterday, and then really only three games today on the docket. Last night was a pretty interesting night of basketball. The games themselves were largely meh, except for the Cavs-Wizard game was so good that it kind of made up for everything with LeBron hitting the step-back three to win the game, or excuse me, to send it to overtime, and then Kyrie takes over in overtime to get the win over the Wizards. That was a big... I would call that a big win for the Cavs at this point, who've been sort of backsliding in the short term. A lot of just kind of little bits of news with them just trending toward the negative. Nice win for them. Overall, the rest of the night wasn't really much to write home about. Tonight, three games. Brooklyn, Charlotte, Orlando, Houston, Portland, and Dallas. So while we're not going to probably spend an overly long podcast here with only three games, there are some interesting DFS stuff to really break down. Starting with Brooklyn and Charlotte, how much do you salivate when you see the Nets show up on
when
schedule?
It's a short slate, I'm already like doing the thing where like you're in a scary movie where you have your hand over your eyes and then you like just peek through your forefinger and middle finger just to see like which teams are on the slate. And when you see that Brooklyn name come in, you just fist pump to high heaven and just realize you're at least going to have four names you can write up in the picks.
So. You're talking about just from a content creation.
Just from a content creation standpoint, yeah. The DFS thing, fine, yeah. Everyone's going to play these guys, so you probably won't get away with anything by doing it. But yeah, just to have something to talk about, it is a very, very welcome feeling.
Well, and you know, if you're new to DFS or if this is, you know, you just want a quick refresher course here, when you are targeting players to play or to roster against, the Nets are one of those just kind of lock them up teams where whoever's playing on the other side of the ball, the sites typically cannot price correct enough to for you not to get value on them, even though they have started to price correct. I've noticed that they do more price corrections going the other way, like against the really slow teams. Guys get their prices lowered. Yep. They have not done it where they really completely increase when a team is playing like a team like, excuse me, when someone's playing the team like the Nets, who run the fastest pace in the league with the just about the worst defensive efficiency. I don't think they are worse.
Yeah, they've bottom three or something.
They're tied for 27th, and then the Lakers and Denver have just been slugging it out to really, really let everyone score on every possession. But the Nets make up for that by playing, you know, 3%, 4% faster than either of those teams. So really just the absolute perfect matchup here. Do you think with only three games and with the just very few options, and at this point, the Nets thing is not a secret, right? Anyone who does even the most rudimentary modeling in terms of just making, you know, predictions on this kind of stuff has to have just insane multipliers for the Nets. If you don't, I don't really know what to tell you. But do you think Walker, I'm going to try to predict some ownership percentages here. On FanDuel, he's less than 9,000. Is Walker a plus 90% start on, yes, on FanDuel?
Absolutely. Yeah,
I think so too. Batum, plus 75%.
I don't feel like people are quite as high on Batum. I mean, I haven't really, in the interest of full disclosure, I haven't calculated a lot of lineups for today's slate. I will say yes. I think the guards, I think both guards will be up there.
So after those two guys, I do think those two are the highest. The other players to consider here, so Kaminsky, I don't think Cody Zeller is going to play. He did not play last game, and they actually started Kaminsky at the five, which seemed like not the worst idea any team's ever had in the history, sure, of just putting guys out there, but really seemed like it was gonna. I mean, they're like, you know what, Frank, you're starting tonight at the five against Gobert, so have fun. It almost seemed like a reason. It's like one of those things like you let your kid do. You're like, I'm gonna let my kid do this. They're just gonna screw it up the first time. It's gonna be so bad that we'll be able to say, you know, I'm not sure we should like climb that tree again. Look what happened. You know, like you fell. And then it ended up not happening where he was kind of, he was just good. Do you think they start him again there tonight? And he's another one. He's only 4,500 on FanDuel. Does he like kind of end up becoming a chalk play?
I think so. I mean, the other thing about power forward tonight, I mean, there are actually a couple options for a pretty small slate, but you start running out of names you're hoping to see pretty quickly. So, right, you know, after like Kaminsky and Ibaka, then you're down into much more speculative territory with guys like Dirk, you know, Dirk on the minutes or Marvin Williams on the production. So, yeah, I do think Kaminsky will be a chalk play as well.
Yeah, I think he's there. I think people, you can talk yourself into Marvin Williams in some situations. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is still not too expensive. And it's nice on the Hornets where most of their fantasy production is concentrated to the starters. They don't really, they'll bring like Bellinelli to the world off the bench. They traded Hibbert and Hawes, so those guys are gone. They have Miles Plumlee. I get the Plumlees confused. Miles Plumlee there now, who's not really cutting into anyone's minutes, or I don't suspect he cuts a ton into many minutes. So it's nice to have a Hornets team that basically knows what they want to do on offense, or knows what they want to do with their rotations, especially with their starting five. And I think at that point, you're pretty much almost definitely just starting Walker and Batum, and then choosing two more of Kidd-Gilchrist, Kaminsky, and Marvin Williams. So I think really that's all of your decision making on the Hornets tonight. And I think that's going to be, I think you're just going to see crazy overlap with some of these lineups. Like I said, Walker, everyone's going to play him. That would be the case actually in tournaments to get away from him. So if you think that he's going to be 90% in cash games, maybe 60% or higher in tournaments, you can run some lineups, I think, where you take him off the table and maybe leave some money out there and just, you know, try to get some separation on that. But for the most part, when we're talking 50-50s, it's pretty much Hornets all the way. Now the Nets going the other way, they are 10.5 point underdogs. They are a team that we've said many times does not know, they don't really have a specific plan with minutes on a night-to-night basis. Caris LeVert is not going to play. He has seen some minutes. They maybe gets redistributed to the guards. Quincy Acey is not going to play. I don't think that really matters at all. On Brooklyn, I mean, is there anyone even worth it on Brooklyn at this point to even try to speculate on, to think that they're safe in cash? And what are your overall thoughts on the Nets?
Yeah, I think Sean Kilpatrick will get a lot of play here. He saw a run on him in his last start when LeVert went down and wound up playing 32 minutes. So I think his minutes will come up a little bit in our system, and he'll just wind up making his way into lineups. Also, you know, shooting guard, just like most positions tonight, there's really only a small handful of guys that you should really be looking too hard at. And I think that Kilpatrick is definitely in that conversation for me at shooting guard.
Yeah, I think the reason I stay away, if I haven't been in 27 minutes right now, it's probably a little low. I always get a little worried about bumping these Nets minutes into anything close, even from the last game, because if you look at some of these guys' game logs, you'll see 32 minutes.
It's a roller
coaster, yeah. Right, and then you have a 22-minute performance in there, and you have, right, so you have a 19, a 16. So I know LeVert not being there helps, but it's always just so risky for guys like him. I'd probably be more willing to do it on DraftKings, where he's a little cheaper.
Yeah, I think I trust him a little more than you, but I definitely hear the concern.
You could see some more of Lopez tonight. He's basically their only player that gets consistent. Right? Well, and they're trying to trade him here, and they're asking. I've read an article this morning that just they're asking the world for him, like two first round picks. I can't imagine they get that for him, but he still really tops out at 30 to 31 minutes, and you're not going to see more than that, even in close games. So that really puts a damper on what you can reasonably expect his top like his ceiling to be when you're just not going to ever get him. If you're never going to get him more than 32 minutes, then you can really cap the ceiling at a certain amount of points. Now, he should, if they roll the same starting lineup, he is in a good defensive matchup against Kaminsky. Yeah. He should, and he is, like, as opposed to Gobert, who is a much more a defensive first center, Lopez is offensive first, and they will exploit a situation like that where they know that he can just basically dominate Kaminsky. So I do think that he gets force fed the ball a lot if that's who the Hornets start again. So I think there is, he has a nice floor because of that. I just get worried about the upside. Anyone else here, like Bogdanovich? I hate even saying these names. RHJ, Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, anything else even worth it on the net side of the ball at all?
Yeah, and I'm going to address Lopez actually first here because I think he's an interesting case. A lot of people actually, he was a 40% start in cash games in a short slate his last time around against Toronto. And I think that I didn't totally understand it then. I do understand the case for tonight. I mean, Charlotte already tough against opposing centers this season, ranking seventh best in allowing fantasy points to them. And I think Kaminsky opens up even more opportunity. I would say for me, like, I anticipate him being very, very highly owned tonight. So going against him probably means going against the chalk on some level, but I'm totally okay with it. The other guys, yeah, you talked about Bogdanovich. I mean, he's another guy that I think is very directly helped by LeVert being out of the lineup. He went out there, played 27 minutes against Toronto. He was very, very bad on this price. And so, you know, Bojan's a guy who, you know, sometimes he puts up these huge nights, you know, if the other team is indifferent to trailing him around in the corners or whatever, but he can also disappear on you completely. So, well, I think he's a great value just on a strictly points per dollar basis. I'm not sure that he, you know, I'm not sure you're necessarily going to be thrilled with him at the end of the night for cash games.
And I think the big thing with tonight is you just don't need to, I mean, especially on FanDuel, it's not devoid of ways to save money already.
And yeah, it's so strange. There's a lot of value for a small slate.
I think they've mispriced here for a small slate. I think they should have just been a little bit more in tune to the idea that there are very few players here and it's pretty easy to fit these salaries, all things considered. And I get that I don't write these algorithms on pricing, so it is what it is. But I think FanDuel, you're just going to see so much overlap and you don't even need to take the risk for cash games on a lot of these Nets players.
Yeah, I mean, they may just want to make the games fun too. Like, it's actually just not fun to have to play backups and crap, you know, like you often have to do on DraftKings on these short slates. It's like, yeah, sure, I'm going to get Randy Foy for 3,000, but awesome, I get to hope Randy Foy plays his minutes and does something and so on. So I don't mind the way FanDuel does it.
The next game is the 8 o'clock game, and that is the 8 o'clock. That's the Rockets and the Magic. Rockets are -11.5 here against Orlando, who has, in the short term at least, tried harder to play their starters more minutes. Though last game they got blown out, so it's you want to hope that. Well, you're hoping for two things here. Let's and we can maybe talk about what our philosophy is on a short slate like this. Because both these games, the 10.5 Charlotte line and the 11.5 Rockets line, both in a vacuum are blowout risks, right? So whenever you're kind of like, you know, at the risk of a blowout, you are at the risk of starters specifically losing their minutes. How do we handle that on a short slate like tonight where there just are no other options? There's one other game, it's Portland and Dallas. That is a thinner spread, though less of the fantasy sort of implications or fantasy upside comes from that game as opposed to the ones with a higher spread. So how do we deal with it when we have these two games that are just, you know, double digit point spreads going in?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. So I think by and large, I'll say that we kind of just don't pay too much attention to it because the thing, what are you going to fade both of the big spread games and just only play guys from Dallas, Portland? That just doesn't totally work. But let's say that there was just one game that had a deep spread and the other ones were very much more narrow. In those cases, basically, we just look at the team that's the underdog in those big spread games and apply, you know, a modest multiplier specifically to guys who might play less or be less effective if the game has a bigger spread. So an example here might be, say, like Vucevic on Orlando, right? If Orlando's getting blown out, it stands to reason that he will not be heavily involved in the offensive game plan. He might lose minutes more readily. They might go small. They might try to shoot threes and so on. But on the flip side, say a guy like Evan Fournier, well, we're just going to give him his regular run of minutes on the understanding that maybe he'll, if they fall behind, he'll shoot more threes or, you know, be asked to play more minutes and try to catch them up or something, right? So, and that's really the only modifications we'll make. Because, yeah, Is Clint Capella likely to see fewer minutes tonight if the game gets out of hand in Houston? Possibly, but like, what are you just going to, again, not play anyone from any of these games? It just doesn't work out that way. So while I think that there's some guys that are more likely to be impacted by blowouts than others, you know, other guys like, say, James Harden, in that case, we can apply the logic of, well, hey, if it's a blowout, it's probably because he was the one doing the blowing. So the blowing of the out, like the in the case where he's you know, beating the team at basketball, that kind of thing. Not anything else. Not anything else.
You stick mine. Hear that on your own. No, I think I'm with you. I think is Orlando a favorite to get blown out here? Yes. I mean, they are a team that's susceptible to that. They don't have a ton of outside shooting to start, so it's going to be a struggle for them to come back, really, in any scenario. It's one of the reasons they do get blown out a lot is because they're just devoid of really any specific guy who can score and score readily, especially when they need it. You know, it seems to me like Orlando is just a team full of role players, and the role players in themselves all could probably get solid minutes on a good team. The problem is they're just a group of role players that when put together end up just becoming this below average team, all things considered. So that's kind of like my issue with Orlando, but I do like, I kind of at the same time can get behind playing almost any of their starting five in cash, because if the minutes are going to be there, their prices still haven't totally corrected for early in the season when they just saw, you know, 25 minutes or less run because Frank Vogel just was tilting and didn't figure out really what he wanted to do. So I think you're still getting value on guys like Payton, really the whole starting five, Fournier, Payton, Ibaka, Vooch, and there's someone I'm missing here. Oh, Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon is probably, of those guys, who do you think is the most likely to lose? Like, whose minutes are least safe of that five?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, Aaron Gordon might be in that conversation just because his minutes tend to not be safe in general. So, you know, he can run up against it. I'd say any of the wings seem fairly safe to me. I do think Vooch might be at risk here. You know, he can lose minutes just for seemingly random reasons from time to time and just isn't really part of the offensive game plan when they're really far behind. So I guess those are the five that I'm, or the two that I'm looking at the most. But again, I'm just probably going to by and large ignore it.
Okay, I'm going to throw out a couple. Explain to everyone what no halftime is, and then I'm going to throw a couple no halftime challenges at you for some of these guys in this game.
Yeah, I would love to. So No Halftime is an innovative app in the DFS space that allows you to place a one-on-one DFS contest. So what you can do is simply choose a player, say James Harden, and then you can choose someone you think James Harden's going to be better than. So maybe it's LeBron on any given night. And you pick James Harden, you say he's going to outscore LeBron from a fantasy perspective, and then other people that use No Halftime can decide if they want to accept your challenge or not. You put it out there for as much money as you want, and then people accept it or they don't. The other thing you can do is just troll around on the No Halftime app for other challenges people issue. I'll tell you that having used No Halftime quite a bit in the past, I've seen no shortage of just great opportunities to scoop up insane value, particularly in basketball, but in other sports as well. So go to nohalftime.com, download the app, use the promo code DFSR25, and you'll get a $25 bonus up to a $25 deposit. So I hope to see you over there, because it's quite a sweet app.
I'll take James Harden. You take Mario Hezonja. Do you accept?
No, I don't want to accept challenge. I think James Harden will outscore Mario Hezonja.
Okay. James Harden or Mario Hezonja for the rest of the season. Just tonight's Harden.
Tonight's James Harden points. That's actually kind of close. I'd have to look at that.
Oh, okay, no, for real though. Aaron Gordon or Bojan Bogdanovic?
Oh, Gordon.
It's interesting because it's closer than I thought it would be in our system. Gordon has had some really rough games, especially in the short term. He's a guy that I just wonder if the impression you get of him, or just like the collective conscious like idea of him, is different than what the actual reality is, because he has some just true disappearing acts for this team. You know, in the last three games, he has a 7.1 point performance, and that was in 28 minutes, and these are fantasy points. And then he has 11.5 point performance against Indiana in 31 minutes, and it's not like Toronto and Indiana are like these incredibly great defensive teams. He has a 12 point performance in there. So I wonder sometimes with a guy like Gordon if just the perception of him is better than the reality. We only have him for
I think that's true, but we also have him for only 23 fantasy points. And we're not having him to blow off the doors off anything here.
Well, that's why I compared him to Bojan, though. I guess my point is,
yeah, I think a lot of people would hear that and be like, what? That's not even a comparison. I do think it's Gordon, and I don't think it's like super close, but I think it's worth pointing out that it's a lot closer than, it's closer than even my gut told me. I answered on gut feeling there, and I'm surprised to see that it's as close as it is.
What about Fournier or Batum?
I took Batum certainly on a raw points basis. I mean, are you talking on a points per dollar basis?
No, raw points, no halftime. Like just seeing, trying to think of what could be like things that could be accepted. I'll give
like
you one more.
Reasonable challenges you could put out there tonight.
Yeah. Patrick Beverly or Elfrid Payton.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably Elfrid Payton, but it's probably a lot closer than most people think.
I think one way you can exploit no halftime is to grab some of these to go into our system, and one way to use the app, because we don't do no halftime projections per se, but to use the projections that we do put out there and kind of roll through this list and decide if something looks off to you, like let's say you liked Beverly a lot more than Peyton, and we had Peyton for 15% more points or something like that. That would be a challenge you should throw out there. It goes a little bit better when the public perception is a little bit different. Like for instance, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist versus Aaron Gordon. I suspect that you would get, if you took the Kidd-Gilchrist side of that, you would get a lot of takers that would think that Gordon was better, and we have Kidd-Gilchrist for 4 more points. So there's a bunch of different ways you can use the.
How about Kaminsky and Dirk? That's a good one.
That's another good one, right? So, like, I think people – see, I wonder sometimes about how caught up people are in, like, new situations and roles. But yes, Dirk is clearly
– Well, the thing about no halftime is it doesn't take everyone. You know, the thing about DFS is you enter a 20,000-person DFS contest. You know, I've got 100 entries in there on all my caught-up news using our optimizer. If you're just off on no halftime, you only need one person out there to be like, who's Frank Kaminsky? He's going to outscore Dirk. Give me a break, you know?
Right. So anyway, check out No Halftime. We like the site. It's great. I like going and kind of doing these little exploratory what will people take thing. Well, it's close. I mean, don't be the guy that throws out Harden versus Zonia. You should get blocked for things like that. But the ones that are a little bit closer, I do like taking a look at. On the Houston side of the ball, Harden on FanDuel, 90% or over start. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, over.
After Harden, I mean – in terms of, I mean, he's so much of their offense that this is where sometimes these other guys, none of them are too expensive, but it's not necessarily easy to trust any specific guy in the Rockets because it's mostly Harden's team and then maybe just like the flavor of the night. After him, though, they do have a good matchup against Orlando. Is there anyone else you like just in like sort of like as a value play from that team?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to consider Patrick Beverly tonight. The value at point guard is just terrible. I don't know if you've looked really closely. I'm sure you have, actually, since you set up the system last night. But, like, there's no guys that we're projecting for better than 5x points per dollar on FanDuel. And that's a really, really dire situation. So I think on some level, like, yeah, and Kemba's a good play. And it's basically Kemba and then a bunch of question marks as far as I'm concerned here. Beverly's been a little up and down on this price, but tonight's not a night you need to hit a home run at point guard from my perspective. It's a night where you need to not get buried by just playing some random guy who winds up sucking. So I'll take like the, 4.5x I think I can get out of Beverly pretty handily here and kind of call it a day. I mean, I might wind up just going in a different direction anyway, but he's at least a guy who should be on your radar.
No, I think I'm with that too. This is the old background noise podcast, by the way. We got guys outside doing filling potholes. We got phones.
Baby, running. I can't turn my phone off. I'm a CEO of a mid-sized company, man. am I just going to turn my phone off for your podcast? Come on, baby.
Good. It's my podcast now. That's actually good to know. The the final game is Portland and Dallas. I'm stumbling because I think of a way to phrase this. Darren Williams was ruled out late last night, but the closer to game time than I expected to, and it ended up being one of these things where it was hard to totally trust Yogi Ferrell going in. He was more toward doubtful. I was trend, especially on big slates. For me, it's maybe you're not in the same line of thinking as me here, but maybe we are. When Williams is questionable or even doubtful, on a huge slate, the chance that he does play, is it too risky to play a guy like Yogi who really stands? I mean, he's playing 38 minutes a game, clearly, when Darren, D-Will is not around. But if Williams were to come back, that you could see those minutes be 20. And for a $6,000 player, like how big do you need to factor in the risk that the direct reason the guy's getting minutes could just come back onto the court?
Well, you need to factor it in. I mean, this, I think this speaks to why we didn't play him last night. It was because of this exact reason. But last night was such a different animal, right? I mean, it was like a 10-game slate, just guys for miles. I do think if he comes back, he won't jump right back into 35 minutes a game. I think it'll be more like 24, 26 minutes. Farrell's also been effective, and they just inked him to a longer-term deal. So I just think Farrell is a part of their future in some way, and it'd be pretty surprising for me to have him go from 35 minutes to 10 or 20 even overnight. That being said, I think you are taking on some risk here. I just think that it might wind up being worth it. Because the thing is, too, what were starting percentages like on Ferrell last night?
They were high. I want to say they were like 40%.
If he was that 40% last night, he's going to be 50% plus tonight. I think in that case, you just have to kind of disregard it and take the chance. Unless we explicitly get news like, hey, he's a game time decision, you know? Because last night he was doubtful. And, you know, he was listed as a game time call the day before that. But I suspect that we're still, I don't know. I think D-Will probably doesn't play tonight. And I think that if he does, you'll still only have, you know, you're still going to have half the field that winds up playing him or something like that. So.
Right. And you get 30. If you can, like, even if D-Will played and you could maybe count on something like 33 minutes from Ferrell, which actually is reasonable considering.
Absolutely.
It doesn't stand. You wouldn't think that Williams comes back and plays a lot of minutes. I do probably think you end up seeing him as that chalk play in and around that same price range as Beverly and Payton. Because honestly, even with Williams coming back or playing limited minutes, I'd still feel better about Ferrell than I would have probably about Beverly or Payton. He gets a really great matchup against Lillard. He's been very, very good. And he's been good in a lot of different ways, which really helps you help feel more comfortable with him. At this point, he's a very popular play, so you're not sneaking by with a guy like Yogi, but I don't know, the story is just so great too. The guy was like basically in the D League or whatever and just couldn't, and now he's just like, you know, just signed a $10 million contract, so get all the feel goods out of him. Also, after him, I'm gonna again assume Williams doesn't play. Do we see huge minutes again from guys like Seth Curry, you know, Harrison Barnes? This is a pretty good matchup against Portland, so Portland's just not a very good defensive team. Do you think that it is worth it, not maybe in the same way it is to get as many Hornets as we talked about, but do we want to have a couple of Mavericks guys in here just because the matchup is good? It's a pace up for them and kind of bad defense.
Yeah, well, it's interesting with the Mavs right now because on one hand, yeah, everything you said is true. These guys are playing crazy minutes. You know, they've been putting up good fantasy production for a considerable period of time, but you're also kind of paying for it now, right? I mean, like even looking at Ferrell, assume he gets 36 minutes, like 5X is not a guarantee on a $6,100 price tag. Absolutely the same thing for Barnes at $6,900 and Matthews for $5,800. Like, I want to say each of these guys, there might be 700 too expensive each, like maybe 1,000 in some cases, like in terms of what I would pay if I was just really, really excited. Now, yeah, the short slate and the plus matchup with Portland definitely make ways into the factor here, but it's not like I'm not super pumped, I guess, to roll with any of those guys tonight. I could do it and I wouldn't be devastated or anything, but I just don't want to help clarify people's expectations that, you know, we're not in the same world we were when Harrison Barnes was 6,100.
The key for them is if the game can stay close. Like, they ended up getting blown out. So they got blown out by Denver last night, and the starters, outside of Dirk, all played 34 minutes or above. And that was in a game they lost by 23. So This is a team where if the game stays close, and Vegas has it as close. I mean, Vegas had the Nuggets game as close last night, too. So, but if the game were to stay close, you're just going to see 38 or 39 minutes from the Barnes, Ferrell, Matthews, and Curry. Like, I think that's pretty – and that's assuming Dirk plays – which he might not on the back-to-back. Like, who knows how they, you know, operate with that situation. He only played 24 minutes last night. So I think that you could be looking at a situation where, yes, they're all a little too expensive. They probably have the most minutes security of any other team that's playing tonight. And there's just a lot of – sometimes it's worth it to overpay a little bit for that kind of just, you know, security blanket. Again, I'm with you that they're probably all a little too expensive. I do think Ferrell is a chalk play again. I'd be fine playing any of those four starters and maybe having to overpay a little bit. And then, and I guess we're just going to have to, sort of like last night, hope that D-Will doesn't play. So this is the harder situation to navigate just because there's a couple unknowns and there's a couple just kind of new situations. What about Portland? Is Portland a stay away just because of the pace at which the Mavericks play?
Probably. I mean, it's tough because it's such a close game, you know, as Vegas sees it. But yeah, I mean, it's 14 points less than in terms of total from the Brooklyn-Charlotte game and 18 less than the Houston-Orlando game. Dallas is just, they're not only slow, but they actually defend pretty well too. So if you look up and down across various positions, like they're the worst matchup for opposing small forwards, bottom 10 matchup for shooting guards, like it just, you go up and down the list and you can't really find a position that you're excited to play someone against them in. That being said, you know, maybe there's a little bit of value here. I take it back. There's no value. Maybe Plumlee's a guy you could consider playing. If you don't like the safety of Capella in a potential blowout, you don't like Vooch in the same game, maybe you decide to roll with Plumlee. He's a guy who's pretty affordably priced. Maybe has a decent matchup with Dallas with Bogut being out. But yeah, otherwise, I'm definitely not head over heels here.
Yeah, it's just such a pace down for any team. Dallas is just one of those sneaky teams that you just don't really want to play guys against. They just play super, super slow. And again, they're fine on defense, but it's really that pace, man. They know what they know they cannot get into open court games against people, and they're smart like this. So
Dirk will never make it, right? Like, what's Dirk going to do in a fast break?
Nah, their team's just not built for that. They just need they need to get into half court sets and get ISOs, and that's kind of just what they want to do, and they stick to it. They don't really ever fall too far out of it. Now, last night they ran into a good shooting night from Denver, which led to the blowout, but for the most part they're able to hang in games just because the other team just gets very, very few possessions. All right, three game slate, a lot of interesting stuff going on here. One that I'm definitely excited about, not all small slates are created equally.
Little baby slate.
This one is one that I am happy to, I think there's plenty of value, even if there is going to be a fair amount of overlap, especially from the guys we mentioned earlier in the podcast. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, dfsr.com for short. Head over to the site /membership. That'll get you a free 3-day trial to the projection system. Go over to the chat room, ask if that free for 3 days and the price afterward is worth it. You will get an honest answer from all of our loyal chatters.
They'll say yes, or they're being sarcastic, and if they are, then Doug might yell at them. So.
Then ignore them if you think they're being they didn't put their sarcastic font on. All right, we will be back. I'll be back again tomorrow for a solo pod talking more basketball. James will be back again Thursday. Enjoy Tuesday basketball, everybody.
Yeah, baby.